Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
House meeting. The sounds of our voice ricocheting through your ear canal to your brain to bring you the words that we're saying.
And that's science.
That's true science. It's slightly more confusing than all the information we've given them already that you're listening to this. But sure, that's
true.
Do you know what will blow
your minds? Right. What? We will never know if what we sound like to ourselves is what we sound like to listener dear, because everyone's ear canals are unique. And therefore, we have no way of knowing if this is what I sound like to listener dear, even what I sound like to you, Matthew and Ben. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
That's a bit deep for the intro,
that's blown my mind. Here's another one. What would happen if you got in a rocket and just sort of just flew off the earth and just kept flying and flying? Like, what's beyond the edges of the, like, what would happen?
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
I've got one for you. Up until about 5 minutes into this episode, I just thought we were having a chat.
Did you really?
Yeah. I just thought we were having a pre-episode.
It was a relaxed slide in, wasn't it?
It was an organic slide into the chat.
I like that though, because it started as a chat and then suddenly, boom, house meeting in session.
Yeah. Mm. It's great. That's what this is.
It's always better that it happens that way round rather than the other way round, where we start and then it quickly declines into nothing but a chat. we have to start again.
This is just a chat now.
Is that something listener dears would be interested in if we did start doing another podcast called This Is Just a Chat?
I can highly recommend joining our Patreon because that is more than just a chat.
It is more than just a chat.
These fantastic episodes of what's currently being called Flatshare Lockdown, that will probably change. But there's also bonus beefs from ourselves and our many guests we've had on Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. There are loads of bonus audio clips. There's video. It's great stuff over there. And you can get it by going to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Just £4 a month.
We've grown really fond of those lockdown podcasts because it's all about interacting with emails from listener dear, and obviously in Beef Brothers Cold Cuts we're always just solving beefs, whereas lockdown's completely different. It's like we're having a conversation with our listeners. It's a really fun, different version of the stuff we usually put out on the main feed. So if you haven't yet checked it out, bung a couple of quid in, check it out for a month. If you think it's shit, you can get out again.
Bye-bye.
Very
happy with that.
I don't know, but come and give it a whirl and see what you think.
£4. You know, what would that get you in today's money? You know, less than a pint of beer, certainly around where we live. But, you know, why not?
Two flacons of cider where I live, thank you very much.
You're living a wonderful pastoral life now, Tom.
Absolutely, where they have fun days. And well, anyway, we'll get into that in the main episode. So, order of business before we get into this crossbow?
No, I believe just to remind people of the Patreon, to tell people as well, we need more beefs, by the way. So beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, send us your beefs. We need more beefs for Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
The beef shelves very soon are empty. Restock them.
Let's get into this house meeting. See if you can spot the point where Clarky realised that it wasn't just a chat.
It's about the time where I just stopped talking.
You freeze once you know we're recording.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting.
What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting.
Meeting. Meeting.
Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting.
Meeting. Meeting. Meeting.
Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting.
Meeting. Meeting.
What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I thought you were wearing a nightie when you first came in, Clarky, but it's all the same colour, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
It's not a bad look for you, the nighty.
It looked comfy. I was like, fair play. That looked like a really comfy choice.
When I was when I was a kid, I had a nighty. I wore a nighty as a kid. Yeah. I wore a Superman nighty. I don't know why I had it. And it wasn't like a big T-shirt. It was like long. A designs to be worn as like a sort of Wee Willy Winky affair.
Ebenezer
Scrooge, Wee Willy Winky. And it was...
Can I just ask, do you have a Wee Willy Winky?
You know what?
He did back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah. But it's really kicked on the last few years.
It's a Wee Willy Wonky now.
Yeah. And with a golden ticket, you can have entry to it.
A Wee Willy Winky to a Whoa Willy Wonky.
But I found that sleeping in a nightie, it would ride up. So you'd wake up in the morning and you'd effectively be wearing a crop top, because it would just bunch up around the armpits and then nothing, you know, nude underneath.
That's interesting. I was about to say, it's kind of a I'm very, it seems crazy to me that like nighties aren't, you know, across the board, everyone can wear like nighties. Like everyone can wear nighties, obviously.
Everybody's free to wear nighties. Baz Luhrmann taught
exactly.
That.
But like, you know, it just feels like it's a triumph of design just to be bowling around the house in a fucking nightie. And
well, you know,
it's
what?
Just so comfy.
The dream, I think, for all of us is that in our later years we get to a sort of stature whereby a muumuu is acceptable.
Yeah,
and that totally. Is, you know, the Marlon Brando. Rocked the muumuu towards the end of his life. You know, he put on a tremendous amount of weight in his later years and just thought, I'm going for it. I'm going to wear a muumuu. Comfort
and also,
style.
Like 2021, you kind of go, if you rocked up to the Met Gala wearing a muumuu, you'd probably be like, fair play, toast to the town. You know what I mean?
It's very true. I was thinking
like,
about,
you know,
I was thinking about
why
the
can't I wear a muumuu to school? And everyone be like, yeah, you know, this child got banned from wearing a muumuu to school. Outrage. It feels like, you know, it feels like you can do it now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. And I think the muumuu is great because, you know, there's this thing, isn't there? Like, you know, women's clothing is more expensive, and you know there needs to be kind of like equality across clothing. It's quite weird the sort of rules that there are for what, you know, we're experiencing this now, Parry, with raising little kids, of like, you know, the way they dress and what they wear starts to become kind of important, and also signifiers. But you know what? If we just sort of, if we lean into it and so say, like, look, 2021 into 2022 is going to be the year of the muumuu.
Are we going to sell pappies muumuus?
Let's not get into the whole merch.
2020 moo. I'm up for it.
2020 moo. I'm all about it. It's good stuff. You know, I think this is it, because the, you know, a product lives and dies on its slogan. You know, everybody knows I'm loving it. Everybody knows just do it. Everybody knows a finger of fudge is just enough to give your kids a treat. So what is it? 2020 muumuu.
2020 moo.
2020 moo. Yeah. 2020 moo. I think it's, I mean, I don't think, I think, I think we should lead by example. Like, you know, talking about the Met Gala, I imagine there's going to be lots more people now wearing their kind of Rolmex over their faces, Kim Kardashian style. You know, that's going to be
Yeah, when did the Met Gala become a thing, right?
Because as far as I'm concerned, about 3 or 4 days ago, when the Met Gala happened. Now, I think it's been a thing for a while, but it certainly feels like maybe there's just not enough. Maybe it's one of those things where, like, it's quite a nice distraction. People are into things which are a big distraction nowadays.
I've heard so much about this one and never really heard of it before, I don't think.
The last couple of years, yeah, it's been on my radar, but I'm very fashion, you know, I've got my thing, I kind of follow the fashion world.
Yes, kind of my thing.
You've got your finger on the mood, don't you?
But I've got my finger on the mood. But, like, it felt like, I don't know, 10 years ago, I can't think of it being a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm sure there'll be listeners who are... Actually, I don't know. I don't know what the crossover of, like, Met Gala and people who listen to Pappy's Flatshare really is, but, you know, I imagine there are people who follow fashion quite keenly and will go, no, you idiots. It's like saying it's a bit like us going, how long have the Oscars been going? That feels like quite a new thing.
Yeah, exactly, that's it.
Is that a new thing? Since they let Wolverine host it, is that it? I feel like definitely there's a the Met Gala's probably been kicking around for absolute years. What I wanted to know about the Met Gala though was when
how long's it been going for?
Firstly, how long's it been going for? Obviously, we all want to know that. I also, by the way, don't know what it is. To me, it's a staircase, right? I've got no idea what happens beyond that staircase.
It's one of those eternal ones, isn't it?
It's an M.C. Escher type one.
They come up, just keeps going up.
And then eventually, at the end of the ride, you
ride waterfall all the way back down again.
Love it.
It's a log flume.
It's a log flume for millionaires. But I don't know what happens at it. But also, how, by the way, did they know that it was Kim Kardashian in the outfit that everyone's saying is Kim Kardashian? If you don't know what it is, it's like she arrived in basically an entirely black outfit with also her face covered in the same material and her sort of hair was blown up.
Is that the point though? Is the point that Kim Kardashian is so knowable by her shape?
Yeah, but
alone.
I guess that's true. But did she have to say to somebody at the start, by the way, it's me, Kim Kardashian, and then everyone can start shouting, oh, it's Kim, and then all the paparazzi can start snapping their cameras? Or did she rely on the famousness of her silhouette? I don't know what, like, surely someone's got to go. Or maybe she wore like a name badge for the first sort of 3 or 4 steps that she had just like chucked away as soon as she'd gone up to sort.
It wasn't her. And in 2 weeks' time, she'd be like, I wasn't there.
That would be the thing, wouldn't it? If it wasn't her.
They've got previous with that, haven't they? Because on their Christmas card photos for the last couple of years, Kanye was wearing like a full outfit. Like with a teddy bear hat on and stuff, and it turns out it wasn't Kanye. They were having troubles.
Oh, right.
So it doesn't. Oh, yeah. Feels like they have got previous.
He had like the bear hat from his like early albums.
That sort of vibe, anyway. Right. That's sort of what they do.
Well, the other thing.
I mean, basically, it's got a ring of that. Like 5 years ago, that was that like all in one onesie thing that was like, or 10 years ago,
the morph suit.
You'd wear to the cricket on the lash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's basically just that, isn't it, really? She's like a late adopter of the morph suit.
Has she really got into the darts? Is that what it is?
Yeah, like, it's like anyone going to the darts or day 4 of a test match at Edgbaston would be like, big whoop, get me to the Met Gala.
Yeah.
In fact, most people going to the darts, if you siphon them off towards the Met Gala, that's what the Met Gala is. The Met Gala is darts for posh people. Because if you go to the darts, it's pretty similar. All it's lacking is a fucking staircase. But it could do with one. Like, if you stuck paparazzi and, like, a red carpet staircase going into the darts, that's the kind of shit people would want to see in newspapers the next day.
I'd love it.
That's a really good idea.
Larry from Hull has come dressed as a minion. He's been sick on his mate, who's a Smurf. You'd be like, fucking yes, please, I want to see that.
Well, although would a big staircase on the way in kind of mean that half of the people wouldn't actually make
they actually have that because it's Ali Pali.
It is.
Anyone who's been to Ali Pali knows.
London's biggest exactly staircase.
Me and Crosby went to the darts together and it was... What a night! Because there's night. such a honestly, Clarky, you'd have loved it. There was such a like.
It's another one of these anecdotes. It feels like they're coming thick and fast.
Well,
now.
There's such like a communal love of
but not that communal, mate.
there's such a communal love for the concept of the dart, and it kind of binds the whole evening together. There's no like love for specific players.
Yeah.
There's not even love for watching the game. It's just the concept of the darts. And it's like you go to queue for the bar and you're behind someone else who's pissed and they go like, "Do you love the darts, mate?" And you go, "I love the darts." And then like you go, "Oh, I love you, man." And you both put your arms around each other. It's like you're bound together by the love of the darts.
Yeah.
And everyone just starts going like, "Stand up if you love the dart." Everyone stands up. Everyone's on the same side. Everyone like,
and the darts.
Other sports should totally adopt that. Like, it shouldn't. If people were just going to the football, going, "Who loves football? Everyone loves football." It's like that. It'd be so much more pleasurable.
Yeah,
if you just take out the kind of supporting element,
the competitive aspect of it. Everybody's there to watch the darts because also the darts, by the way, isn't darts. It's not stand up if you love darts, because fewer people stand up. It's stand up if you love the concept of this whole event, which is the darts.
Yeah.
It's stand up if you love darts. Stand up if you love, you know, we were on one of the tables and there's a class system. That's the only, but it's a jolly class system, isn't it? In that the people
it's
in the
a jolly class system.
In the people in their seats sort of think that the people on the tables are hoity-toity, and so they sort of shout down at those people, and then the people at the tables like get out their money and like wave it. I mean, it sounds crass, but I enjoyed doing it at the time. Waving.
You can't afford a table. You can't afford a table.
I was in the seat.
of course you were, Clarky.
Can I have one seat, please? The darts.
Just the one
we didn't recognise you because you were dressed in a fully black morph suit, weren't you?
It was. Well, here's the thing. That's what I was going to say. If football... they all wear morph suits, so you don't know who's who. You just have, and then when you turn up, you're just given a colour. You're spotting blue, you're spotting red. Off you go.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah. So
but people would get into fights, blue versus red. If they've just turned up, they're 6 points in. They turn up and go, "Today you're red." They're going to find someone who's blue and start giving them
till I die.
You've seen people on the terraces turn into absolute lunatics in like a really, you know, staggering way, kind of just like constantly making the wanker sign for like... You watch like a 68-year-old man make the wanker sign for like 70 minutes solid.
Just like, it takes longer when you're 68, doesn't it? Like, if it was a 14-year-old boy, it would take about 30 seconds.
It'd be like, this guy during the week is a loving granddad, a caring father, he's a pillar of his community, but for 90 minutes on a Saturday, he will point at a family of four and make the wanker sign at them for the best part of an hour and 20 minutes and not think twice about it. It's like,
you've got to ask the question, why have the family of four signed to Everton? That's the thing, you know. I would say...
It's a good point. They just turned up, they were given the morph suits and off they went.
I'll say this, and I don't know how this will play.
Okay.
But Clarky and I were in Wembley on the day of the England-Germany game in the Euros,
yes,
where England won.
Your knees were getting
and
trembling.
When the German crying girl came on the screen and cheered, it was really funny. Because we were all in the ground and it just happened and it was really funny. Now, obviously, the next day, a nation shame. And, of course, I understood that reaction. But I also know that in the moment... when it happened, it was really funny. And that's the difference between being in the ground and it's terrible. I'm not like defending it, but I do know both of those things are true. Next day, a nation show. Like, we didn't, don't get us wrong, we didn't boo the anthems. Like, we're not like, we're not monsters.
Well.
But we didn't, you know, it was just in that moment, everyone collectively decided to cheer the sight of a crying girl. And it was very funny. And obviously, next day, a nation shame. And I understand that, but I also understand that at the time, something just clicked, I guess.
Yeah, it was, because I had that discussion with Megan when I got home, and she was like, oh, that was so sad. And I was like,
we misjudge that.
It was quite funny at the time. She was like, no. It was quite funny.
It was, and like,
it's bad, you know, but it's funny. That's why it's funny.
There is also a human, there's a very human reaction to, you know, like, I was explaining, again, this story doesn't cover me in glory.
By the way, last time it was shitting in the sea. This time it's laughing at the pain of a poor girl. Are you trying to cancel yourself? Do you just need a break?
I had only one message came back from the shitting in the sea episode that said, you are going to get so many terrible reactions to this. And then I didn't get any others, but like...
Yeah, but you've not checked the emails.
Threat of
Tom,
more.
Tom, you don't log into the emails, do you, mate? I'm talking about... You've got one on Twitter. Oh, in the intro outro to this, honestly, it's going to be wall-to-wall complaints. A porpoise got in touch. Absolutely livid.
Hypocrite. Anyway, we went to an event the other day that had a stilt walker, and I was trying to explain to my wife about a time when me and Clarkie watched someone, an amateur, having a go at stilt walking, fall off their stilts. And it being single-handedly like one of the funniest moments we've ever witnessed together. And that's horrendous, but it's also true. Like, there is something about when you like that way reaction when someone that the knee-jerk reaction to, I don't know, crying German girl or stilt walker falling over, like the very first reaction that you are immediately ashamed of is like, way, or ho ho,
that's who you actually are.
And then it's like, oh. But like that, you can't deny that that's there. Do you know what I mean? You can't deny it's there. Hey, oh, you okay? Oh,
like, finding out who you really are, that's it's never good, is it?
No,
it's never good.
No.
And it happens to me all the time. And it'll often happen to me when, for example, the four of us, Emma included, are trying to organise when to record this podcast. And this will happen where, like, one of you will send a message going, I'm sorry, I feel really under the weather today. I've slept really badly. I've got a cold. I don't think I can do the record. And I will message back, maybe we can do Wednesday. And then everyone else will message back, get well soon. And I'm like, oh, yes, that's the first reaction. Then you do the admin. And it's never my first instinct, and I hate myself for it. But I always, because it's selfish. It's inherently, it's quite a selfish thing. It's, well, how does this affect me? Not, I'm worried about my friend. It's, how does this affect the organisation that I've put hours into?
It could be worse. When I read I'm really ill, I'm in bed with a cold, my reaction is, "Way!"
She fell over.
House meeting. I live in a house made of iron sheeting.
House meeting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can I just ask, because I think we all need to know, how long before you realised that the person was going to stack it? Because there must have been a moment when the arms are either side, windmilling and all that kind of stuff. And
can I just say,
yeah.
I genuinely thought that question was going to be, how long were the stilts?
I've got to ask.
Because I've got to ask.
We're not talking about just those little, you know, those little block ones that you hold up on a couple of bits of rope. We're talking about proper stilts here, right? Yeah. How long did you know? Because that's the other thing that's...
I think it was abrupt. I think
it was
quite sudden. And hence the delight.
There's something as well. There's an extra funny on top of someone falling over, someone doing like circus skills.
I mean,
and falling over
because you brought it on yourself. Clarky, really.
You're absolutely right. I mean, like, there's like it's the living embodiment of pride coming before a fall. Because what you are doing by the very nature of stilt walking is saying, I can walk on these two poles, right?
This is unbelievable to be in the presence of such a great mind. Tom, talk us through it. If somebody is using a sieve, what are they, by their very nature, doing? Are they saying, I can strain this spaghetti, all the water off it, but still sort of maintain the integrity of the spaghetti as a whole? Is that sort of what they're doing? What are they doing when they use a suitcase? In their very essence, are they saying, well, I've packed a variety of things into this and now I'm able to carry them much easier than they were just balled up in my arms? Talk me through it, Tom.
What I'm just trying to get to, though, is like the desire of behind stilt walking.
It says, look like, at me. The, like, it says, look at me, doesn't it?
I mean, it might be the no offence to any stilt walkers listening, if we have got any stilt walkers listening.
Yeah.
But it might be the worst of the performing arts. Like, imagine meeting someone and being like, what does your partner do? Oh, they're a stilt walker. Wow, really? Ooh la la. Or imagine being on the fourth date with someone and being like, what do you do? And it's like, I'm a stilt walker. Or you finally get back to their house and you realise
they're 2 foot tall.
In the corner.
You just see the size of their front door and you're like, oh no.
But like, I just feel like you get in and like you see, leaning up against the corner of the room, a pair of stilts and you like go,
oh dear.
What are they? And they're my stilts. And you go, oh, yeah. I'm a stilt walker. Like, I mean, that's, I don't know. Like, imagine being like, oh, imagine realizing you're dating a stilt walker.
Tom, you've just not met the right stilt walker. That's the thing.
Imagine having to go to watch them. Be like, oh, will you come and support me on Wednesday?
And you go, I need
to lean on your head while I get up there.
And you can go, look, I tell you what, the stilts are quite high. I'll be able to see you from the window. Don't worry about that. You go off and... No. But I think, Tom, I could see, you know, here's the thing. I could see you, if, for example, right, now you've been in your relationship for a long time. If, for example, your partner said, look, it's something I've been keeping from you. On the weekends, before we met, I used to be a stilt walker. I haven't done it for years. I really want to take it up again, and I'd like you to walk with me. You'd do it, wouldn't you? Couple still walking
back
together,
and there was only one set of footsteps.
One set.
I was still walking. I looked back in the sand, and there was one set of footprints, and then another set of footprints, but they were really far apart.
The thing is with stilt walking, though, is anyone, like, just a stilt walker?
Is it a dying art?
I kind of feel like it's accompanied by other things.
Well, when like, when they did the big reunion. What?
Yes, I do, Thomas.
Do you, mate?
Yeah. I think most stilt walkers have got more talents like juggling.
You'd hope so, for fuck's sake. You'd hope like it's not the only thing. You'd hope it's not the only thing on their CV, wouldn't you? You're putting all your eggs into one fucking basket there, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they've probably got a bunch of, like, they can do it's slack rope precarious. And they can do that thing where you climb a ladder but it's not propped up against a wall, that kind of thing.
But even the stilt walking itself is normally, like, accompanied by another, like, do you know what I mean?
It's, breathing fire or something like that. You know, like
yeah,
wandering
exactly.
around.
Like, they're normally juggling while they're doing it, or they're in a particularly
that bit of Glastonbury that's like a big metal spider that breeds fire. You get a load of stilt walkers around that area, don't you? Yeah. A lot of that,
you go to like your family's, I don't know, it's like your nephew's birthday and it's like Saturday and you're there on your own and it's like, oh, where, so is Adam stilt walking today? Yeah, he can't make it, he's stilt walking again. Like, you know, like, oh, that kind of, it's going to eat into your weekends together, isn't it? It's like, oh, brilliant, we've been invited to, we're going to go to a cottage in Wales that weekend, like, you know, eight of us. Oh, the 17th. No, sorry, mate. It's the school fair. Oh, I'm stilt walking. Oh, I'll go on my own, shall I?
Tom, I feel like, though, I feel like what you're describing
it's
is...
It's like the least noble reason to not be available.
Yeah, I feel like what you're describing, though, is like us when we did the live circuit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, our partners have to say, no, they can't come to this family do because they're going to go and put a paper hat on in front of 30 people in an art centre, you know?
Yeah, but there's you know, there's material.
There's honour in that.
I'm standing on something that makes me look taller than I am. That's it. that's it, isn't it?
Sure. When you boil it down to the essence of what stilt walking is, Tom.
look.
Yeah,
you're
could
a juggler,
we please
right?
actually get back down to the essence?
I can throw and catch more things than you should normally be able to throw and catch. Right, that's okay. Fucking, I'm interested. How are you doing that? That's cool.
Okay.
I stand on something that makes me look taller than I am.
Yeah, but I also walk on it as well.
And you're not coming to my nephew's birthday because of that. I tell you what, though, if he comes to the nephew's party and he's on his stilts, hey!
Everybody loves him, yeah.
Well, there we go.
If he can do some balloon animals as well, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, like Clarkie said, you've got to have a backup.
Got to have a backup.
You've got to have some accompanying.
I was going to say something else going on.
Basically, I was at this fun day on Saturday, and there was just a guy walking around.
This is what we got into.
He didn't juggle. He didn't have any patter. He was just walking around on stilts.
Was he a professional, or was he just doing it for his hobby?
I mean, he was booked as the stilt walker. He was in the schedule as the stilt walker, walking around on stilts.
So people, a crowd gathered at like midday to all watch him walk a bit higher than everyone else walks.
I mean, look.
Was he markedly higher?
Yeah, he was on stilts.
No, but I mean, like, you know, like...
It wasn't an art form shoes, man.
Some stilts are, like, 2 feet, and some
it wasn't
stilts
tip-toes
are, like,
guy.
6 feet.
tiptoes guy. Listen, he was on Clarkie, the day.
Clarkie, those are just high heels, man. Let's stop clapping.
I'm going to level with you. I thought they were in the back of the car. I've forgotten the stilts, all right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just jump... I'm just going to jump all round the fate, okay? I'm just going to jump from, like, just, you know, I'll stand over by the lucky dip and I'll just jump a bit over there and people can sort of imagine, you know?
Arguably a better skill.
It's not a bad skill.
Do you reckon they've ever petitioned, like, for the Olympics or some shit like that? Or, like, for it to be recognised as,
like,
the way
you're already ready
sport.
To be annoyed by the concept of that. Yeah, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to say yes, just to give you what you wanted. Well, that's fucking stupid, isn't it?
Well, right. No, because, like, think about, like, pole vaulting. It's like, fair play, if pole vaulting wasn't in the Olympics, you'd think, what the fuck's going on there, mate? Like, if, you know, there'd be the stuff of some affairs and stuff, wouldn't they?
Pole vaulting, though, is just stilts for people who can't stilt walk. isn't it?
I'm impressed by pole vaulters.
I'd be more impressed by people doing the high jump on stilts, though, I think. Or combining the two.
Well, here we go.
Oh, baby. But pole vaulting, you're right, is an absolutely batshit. Like, that doesn't really kind of cause a stir because it's been around for so long. But I was watching it at this Olympics just going, what is this?
Doesn't it feel like the sort of thing that, like, people would, they would use pole vaulting to storm a castle? It feels like it's got the sort of traditional idea that, you know, you would run along with your long...
Wouldn't they use stilts to storm a castle? Is that where the noble art of stilt walking began?
It's a bit rich for you to call it the noble art after you've given it an absolute roasting.
I'm trying to find redemption for it. Like, did it start back in the day as
If you're trying to get across a moat, right, you don't want to be the guy who everybody can see from the castle because you're 5 foot above the moat. You want to be the guy who swims under the moat and then comes up the other side, or the guy who pole vaults across the moat very quickly before they get a chance. You know, arrows whizzing past him before he gets a chance. He's already on the other side and he's jimmying up a turret.
This is interesting because it feels like you're very moat focused here, and I would have thought it was about the walls.
Yeah. You get your stilt walker next to the wall and then you get into the stilt. You don't stilt up to the moat. That's not the tactic.
Strap them on 5 miles away.
You don't stilt up to the moat, mate.
To be honest, by the time I got to the castle, I was fucking knackered.
I'm imagining he sat at the side of the moat, strapping on his stilts.
Fire an arrow aim.
He lowers his stilts into the water, he trots across, and then he takes his stilts off.
He walks through the moat.
He walks through the moat, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, not moating.
That's interesting.
That's what I was imagining.
Now I'm interested.
But no, I was imagining that people vault through a moat, pole vault through a moat, but you're right, they would pole vault into a place as well, wouldn't they? I guess you know, but I mean, it'd be a big old pole vault to vault into a turret.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the easiest way to use pole vault, if you've got a castle to storm, it's the moat, right?
In fact, the pole vault's you're definitely not getting,
not getting in. You're whacking into the wall and sliding down like a Tex Avery cartoon.
Not all. I mean, I'm sure, like, some of the smaller castles. Like, I think we're, you know.
You think you've pole vaulted into a castle?
A small castle. Like, the bit we're used to, the big castles, aren't we, that have stuck around? But there must have been small castles.
They're all destroyed because they were destroyed by pole vaulters, weren't they?
The stilt walkers and the pole vaulters had their way.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the reason. I've got to say this though, because the last time I saw somebody who claimed to be a stilt walker for their profession was when they did the big reunion on ITV, and they got a load of pop bands back together, and Bewitched, the Irish pop band who did C'est La Vie, got back together, and one of the sisters, she did a bunch of jobs. And one of them was she handed out flyers dressed as like a sergeant major on stilts. But she also like worked in a call centre as well and other sort of slightly more normal jobs. But it was, I think,
well,
it
like
was,
Clarkie said, you've got to have more than one string to
the bow. Every stilt walker is working in a call centre somewhere. You've got to reach down a long way to answer that phone.
Yeah, the leg room in that office is a nightmare.
I don't want to feel like I'm
You're definitely not punching down, Tom.
No, that's what I was going to say. Well, one of the things that made me laugh was the stilt walker at the fun day walked past, and my friend's dog really reacted badly to this stilt walker. And my friend was like, oh, I don't think he likes circus performers. But it's not that, is it? It's because it's two huge sticks walking past him. The dog doesn't even know there's a fucking human up there, does he? He's just thinking it's like lunch or something.
Well, it's either fetch, dog that he would. It's either fetch or it's because, you know,
you dogs really got to the essence of that.
Dogs love to hump legs as well. Either that or he's thinking
that was my first thought.
Yeah, this is the biggest leg I've ever seen in my life.
So basically, if you're in the castle, you see, you know, if you see the stilt walkers approaching, Burnham Wood style. Release the dogs, that's what we're saying, isn't it? Release the hounds. They'll swim across the moat.
You're the only person who has this strong aversion to stilt walkers. Does this mean if you get a dog, I'll know the exact reason why. You've got a dog just to ward off stilt walkers. I feel bad if there are stilt walkers listening to this, because there must be.
Pretty good defence against a dog being on stilts, right?
Well, you can run fast.
What a dog could do to you.
And also...
Well, they'd gnaw you down, wouldn't they?
They're not a beaver. You've got to get this out of your head that dogs eat wood. They don't.
But they gnaw it. They gnaw it stick.
Yeah, but not at the rates where they...
Okay, okay. So are we saying beaver? What we're saying is fill your moat with beavers, aren't we?
Yeah.
But then they'll dam it, and then you can just walk across.
Damn it! Yeah, but they'll be damming it with the stilts of the stilt walkers that they've killed.
I don't think they've got like. If you cut the leg off a stilt walker, they're not going to bleed out.
Do I not?
No, you don't, mate. It's not a real leg.
Hey, those legs go all the way up.
The stilt walker of Venice. Shakespeare's worst work. I'm just trying to think, like, I'm slightly concerned now because Edinburgh Festival, there are stilt walkers around, aren't there? I don't want to have kind of like, I don't want to come out of a venue late, you know, down on the cow gate or something, and suddenly, like, there's fucking 10 stilt walkers waiting
for me. Get trampled to death by stilt walkers.
That's quite scary, isn't it? That would be like the start of a fucking Midsummer Murder or something. I don't watch Midsummer Murder.
It's every bit as ridiculous as the way that people die in Midsummer Murder, yeah. Trampled to death by stilt walkers.
Yeah. Right. There's no fingerprints. No, they were wearing stilts on their arms and legs.
Like those big spider people at Glastonbury.
There you go, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, effectively, you're kind of like a human puppet, aren't you, I guess? I don't know. Is that the appeal? If you're a stilt walker, get in touch and let us know what
Can you back up on the human puppet idea? How are they, human puppet?
Do you not think you'd feel a bit like a human puppet if you were a stilt guy?
No, I don't think
like
so.
Like a puppet on a stick.
They're doing all the work. They're doing all the controlling, right?
Now that I think about it, right, do you think it'd be a good novelty act to do the stand-up circuit but with, like, really small stilts? Like, people don't quite... So, like, you've just got, like, really... You're really tall.
Right, okay.
That's not enough, is it? That's not enough.
The thing with Greg Davies is he's also really funny as well, so he's got both things going on.
Imagine if it turned out that Davies wears stilts. Imagine if it really came down to that. He's just a guy on stilts. That's all he is, guys.
He's 5'8". That's it.
You know what? That's not even, like, he'd only be wearing foot-long stilts. That's not even that long for a stilt, is it?
No, that's
It's very doable.
That's what I mean, yeah,
right.
That's it.
Next time, if anybody's, you know, if anyone's going to...
Crosby, I can see you get very excited.
If anyone's going to any of the Taskmaster recordings or anything like that...
Release a beaver.
Release a beaver and then slide tackle him. Let the beaver do a little bit of work while he's sat there on his throne. As he gets up, just straight across, slide tackle him, take him out. Let's find out.
See what happens.
You know the way there's this rumour on TikTok about Helen Keller not being real? Have you heard about this? It's like a big thing where people are saying that Helen Keller is made up, didn't exist.
I thought you were going to say Brett Goldstein CGI.
That's another great one. Another great one. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Brett Goldstein's CGI. Can we
it's not
start
quite as big well, as that, Helen that Keller's not
true.
Being real?
No, no. And yeah, also one of them is true. But could we put it about that Greg Davies is actually on stilts? Let's put it about.
What's the Helen Keller not being real? Where are the origins of that? Because that flies in the face of loads of primary school assemblies.
Yeah. I think it started off as like someone did it as a joke, and the kind of, I think a lot of these things, they start as a bit of a sort of bit of a LARP, and then people take it too seriously, but now
it's like stilt walking.
Exactly. And now
said,
people
on,
are saying
those
that
two sticks and look tall.
There's like a movement, you know, akin to the flat earth movement, with no basis in reality, where people, but it started on TikTok apparently. that's as much as I know. I've just seen videos of like people angrily explaining that, you know, how could she write a book? How could she write a book? She's deaf and dumb and blind. How could she write a book? That kind of stuff.
Don't tell them about the bell jar and the butterfly, will you? They'll lose their minds.
Their tiny minds.
If someone said that with like Helen Keller, it's like if the origin of that movement was, look, there was a primary school teacher who forgot it was their assembly, so they made up a story on the spot, and it was so good, another teacher took that assembly to another school. Like, I'd believe that.
Yeah.
Because like primary school assemblies, you know, they're kind of like, they're fact, but from a really unreliable source. Back in the day when there wasn't...
From the Bible, yeah. So
there wasn't like internet, and people would be like, you know, you wouldn't be able to go home and check it. But this kind of like unreliable teacher whose turn it's come round to would get up and kind of give it a go.
A bit
telling
hungover.
You the story of like Douglas Bader or something, and you'd be like, is that right? You're kind of just giving it a stab, kind of going, yeah. And they parachuted his legs in so he could do a sports day, and you're like, okay. I mean, I'm with you, but is that, did they? Yeah. And you're like, it's the PE teacher, and you're thinking, you're just saying this because it's sports day next week. They parachute his legs in, and they're like, obviously years later, you kind of go, oh yeah, actually, it was true. But at the time, you kind of think, oh no, Mr. Jones is just like, he's panicking.
Also as well, you've got to do loads of, like, if you think about it, you've got to do loads of assemblies, and you can't repeat material. You can't
do... like fucking the Christmas, the Boxing Day game of football in World War One, right? The first time you hear that in a primary school assembly, you think, fuck off. Like, come on. What? And then, lads, they all just got up and started kicking the ball around, actually. You like think, Jonesy, you are making this up as you go along. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's so many of those stories that you hear for the first time in assembly, and you just think, no, this is mental.
We had a teacher who was a Eurosceptic who would read those articles in the Daily Mail. You know, when sort of the first tickles of Euroscepticism in the 90s would come around, and it was all the sort of, you know, bent bananas and, you know, jam cannot be called jam, all of that kind of stuff. He'd just read articles like that out. It was
you read them out?
Yeah, just read them out.
You know, do you know the really bleak, you know who wrote most of those articles?
Bojo? Bojo wrote loads of them, didn't he? Yeah,
Bojo originated the bent bananas thing and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Fair play.
He is the guy. He is the guy who's like, he woke up hungover. He didn't have anything to write about. He invented Helen Keller.
He is 100% like an out of depth primary school teacher trying to give an assembly every time he gives a speech. Yeah.
It's lucky he has the exact same amount of power as a primary school teacher. That's good for all of our sakes.
So, well, look, in conclusion, if you're still
to conclude our assembly today,
Tom,
if you all turn to your hymn books,
get to the essence of it, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it was the end of the assembly now, Clark, you'd get his acoustic guitar out. Well, in fact, you both would, wouldn't you? You both get your acoustic guitars out, and we'd have a stab at a sing along.
Yes, yeah, we'd sing "Our God Reigns" or something like that. Or,
oh, I don't know that one.
Do you not know "Our God Reigns"? It's really good. We used to sing that all the time in church.
But there is a weird. Now. I was going to say that. I was trying to nip it in the bud,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
before it just fully launched.
Otherwise,
I
that time of the evening when I could really launch into a good hymn or two.
But there is a weird kind of. There's a weird. The songs you sang at primary school that weren't religious are like an odd list of songs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like "Let Me Take You by the Hand and Lead You Through the Streets of London."
Yeah, "Streets of London" by Ralph McTell. We sung that in primary school as well. "Football Crazy" was another one we used to sing.
"Football Crazy," I was going to say, yeah.
We used to sing "Football Crazy" all the time. What were the other biggies?
And then when they sang "Football Crazy," did you used to stand up and just do the wanker sign to the other people
for a full 70 minutes? Yeah, yeah.
Just for the full 70 minutes.
Just me and the rest of the teachers.
And that was the teachers.
We have a laugh, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
At least we're not on stilts.
Guys, I've got something terrible to tell you. You're not going to believe this. Stilt cast.
Oh, all this cast. Time. Should we do it next time?
I'm not even five and a half foot. I've been on stilts. Oh. They parachuted in my stilts so I could do a sports day. House
meeting. Goat impressions. Let's hear your bleating. House meeting.
Well, there we go. If that's pushed any buttons, if you are a stilt walker or friend of the stilt walking community, then get in touch.
And let us know. Or don't, actually.
Did you say let us know at hashtag? And let us know at hashtag.
Another house meeting chalked up on the board, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. And the last house meeting, Parry, we've actually had some correspondence about that. It's more content about the financial side of fares, basically.
Oh, great. Okay.
The hiring, the buying, the manufacturing.
This is from the
this
Tom
has
Bowen
really
chat.
Piqued people's interest.
It's an interesting angle.
I hope, because stilts is very much fair adjacent. You know, I think it's because it's the end. It's the tail end of the summer. You know, we're musing over what's gone by, and. I think it's our level as well.
I think, like, you know, we're gearing up to, you know how like the Mighty Boosh had a music festival. I think we're gearing up to Pappy's having a jamboree.
I'd love
and
it.
And surely now, you know, obviously we nailed BBC Three. Mm-hmm. Next, it's
we
BBC
nailed
4.
It to the fucking wall. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That might be coming back.
it's BBC Four, isn't it? It's a BBC Four documentary, kind of the fairs around the world, and we look at different types of fairs.
Yeah,
in different cultures.
That's fair.
Yeah, we meet some Morris dancers, you know, that kind of caper. I think
it's like the kind of that fishing program that's been such a big success. That's kind of our kind of chance, that kind of thing.
The Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse. Yeah, yeah. We're chatting to Morris dancers.
Yeah, it's us, but we're having a go on different tombolas. We're asking them where they got them from.
Well, you know, hopefully this should certainly answer a question about one item. This is from, now we know her from the Patreon, but this is from O, our dear friend O up north, who's got in touch via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. A great way to get in touch if you'd like to get in touch too. O writes, "Hi all, I'm slowly catching up on all the content I've missed over the summer, and Crosby's musings on how party hire companies will one week hire out stocks for a school fair and the next week to some sort of dungeon reminded me of a lovely story I once heard from a person working in the hire industry. A certain hire company that has a big annual striptease-related gig had a special stripper pole made that could be used safely without attaching it to anything at the top. It was an expensive thing to make, so they had to look for other opportunities to hire it out between those regular gigs. What else happens annually and very much requires an upright pole that's safe without attaching it to anything at the top? That's right. The Stations of the Cross Easter Play, where the cross needs to support a grown man. Knowing where that pole has been really warms my heart every year when I pass the posters advertising the play. Cheers, oh. So every year, this hire company is hiring out a stripper pole to hang our Lord Jesus Christ on.
Jesus Christo. That's amazing.
That sounds like...
I thought it was going to be a maypole.
It could be the theme of a film. You know what I mean? There's like a stripper nun. And
then it's like All right.
We've really tickled Tom's fancy. By the way, if you'd like to hear more about Tom's predilection towards nuns... Get yourself over to the Patreon, because we have 15 episodes of Love, Sex, Shagdown in which that is explored in tremendous detail, and O has been involved in that as well. Thanks very much for emailing, O. If you'd like to get in touch, pappysflatshare@gmail.com with any of your tombola or fair related... if you're a stilt walker, we've got to have at least one stilt walker. Defend the noble art of stilt walking. Get in touch. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, @PappysTweet, on Instagram @PappysComedy, on Facebook Pappy's Flatshare Podcast, and all the other places you can find us. Like and subscribe and join the Patreon.
Today's episode was produced as ever by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye. You're right, Clarky.
Parry went in hard, and I loved it.
You've got to do it, man. You've got to go in hard.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
A B
A A Where
A
A Clarky
A
I'm A
A
C
A
Are we
A
A or A
A
A
A
Please Still could be
It could be anything It could be anything at this point I'm sorry
It's up in the air at this stage. It's sort of oscillating. It could be New York, it could be Scouse. Let's find out. A.
A. Corsham said, is this part of it?
That's a good point.
Please. Please. Play.
Hold on.
Please.
Please.
Please. For the Patreon neighborhood watch roll call. Today's the A. Oh, well, blow me down. It's Dominic Hall. I once saw him play football.
Oh, hey. Tickle me ribs, it's Catherine Grubb. I once gave her a body rub.
What?
Holy hell, it's Mailgun. Me and him used to have lots of fun.
A Mailgun is the service by which Patreon emails you, Clarky.
Yes.
But it's a tricky one here because they've not put down any name.
Thank you for the money all the same.
Well, now it's a really good earner. The day that I took money from Greg Turner via Mailgun.
Via mailgun.patreon.com. Oh, when I see her, I shout, bye, Hecky. Get away from my Mailgun account, Becky.
Oh, when I see him, I shout, where are all my fees from my Mailgun, Matt Rees?
I have something to say. I'm wearing a mail glove. What do you think of that, Hazel J?
Oh, I love your male glove, mate. I'm wearing a female glove and also a non-binary glove as well. And I'm with Alex Brook.
I'm wearing a male belt, which is making me feel very thin. Thank you for giving it to me, William Unwin.
Tim Price is here, and I got to say that I think he really is okay.
What is happening?
A mail gun.
Fluff is here, and I'll never tell how it tickles my chuff and how it rings my bell.
Oh, well, here I am, and I'm filled with pride when I see my best.
No, you can't have
oh,
that.
Oh, no, yeah.
don't worry about it. It's Steve Pride.
Don't worry, he's going to rhyme it with mail gun.
Oh. Emma, can I just ask?
Well, I'm so sorry before I lied, but here's my new pal, Steve Pride.
Ahmed Osman wants me to say that I also think he's okay.
I think it's Ahmed.
Mailgun.com.
Mailgun. Everybody get your mailgun out. And that concludes.
part of it. Hey, Patreon Neighborhood Watch Roll Call.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.